You're listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors. And on the show today, we're talking about building and planting raised garden beds. And we've got Steve in the studio with us here. He's a lifetime farmer. He knows probably just about anything and everything you'd want to know about building a raised garden bed and raising it to get what you want out of it.
Whether you're building a raised garden bed or a garden in Washington or Oregon, Idaho, Northern California, anywhere in the Pacific Northwest, you are going to benefit from growing your own vegetables, knowing where they've been, and knowing what the makeup of them is, and saving yourself money as well as appreciating the fact that you're growing your own food, which is an amazing thing to do. So we were talking a little bit about the species of wood that we were using, and we talked about cedar. Cedar, you mentioned you have cedar boxes that you've had planted since 1976.
Yep.
And those boxes are holding up and doing a great job. And you also mentioned that you use treated lumber.
I just want to throw this out. Yeah. I wasn't even born in 1976.
So. Wow. Well, I'm proud to say that I was a rambunctious four-year-old in 1976. So
I was a senior in high school, and now I hate you both.
I was at least taking breath at that time.
Yeah, but your wife is like half your age, right?
I've seen pictures. She looks half my age. No, she's about seven years.
Mm-hmm.
But
robbing the cradle.
She keeps me on my toes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's great. So tell us about, you said you use pressure-treated lumber as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conversation about using pressure-treated lumber to grow vegetables because it's got chemical in it. I mean, that's the makeup of it. Tell us your personal opinion about growing vegetables with a lumber that's got chemicals in it.
Well, my personal opinion is intertwined with my business opinion because I sell the product. And I think any effective salesman is going to know more about the product than they care to, just in case they get asked a question that's way out there. Here's the thing. There's a lot of myths concerning PT. Years ago, and you guys are aware of this, the arsenic and some other chemicals were changed. They were taken out and replaced with some other copper-based products that aren't as harmful. They've been shown through a myriad of testing and different organizations that really pose no health threat anymore. And so first you can get rid of that. But there are other steps when you're making these beds, garden beds, that you can take. No matter if I'm making mine out of cedar, juniper, or PT, I line it with a landscape felt, providing one more barrier between that wood product and the soil. Because remember, in soil, you've got minerals, nutrients, you've got animals, microorganisms. Things are going to go on against that wood that could affect it. And not greatly, but I attribute mine being around for 30-some years to proper maintenance outside. I treat it just like I would a deck or a fence or siding on a house that I stain. Because I do stain mine. I clean them. I use a very low VOC stain that we sell. And on the inside, I protect it against all those elements on the inside, like I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Works great.
Mm-hmm. We know that pressure-treated lumber got a bad rap, you know, because a long time ago, the chemicals that they used at the time was the best chemicals that they knew, and it did a good job, but it was indeed proved to be harmful. That, of course, is long since passed, at least for the manufacturer of the pressure-treated lumber that Par Lumber Company carries. That is Exterior Woods product. They're in Washougal, Washington. And Par Lumber Company uses them exclusively for our stocking pressure-treated lumber. And that product is now treated with copper azole, which is a healthy alternative to what they were using before. You can check out their website, exteriorwood.com, and it talks about the chemical that's in their lumber. And they say that it is not posing health risks if you're using it to grow vegetable garden, right? They say it can, because it's got copper azole, it can raise the copper level in your soil slightly, but not to pose a health risk. So just to inform people who are using pressure-treated lumber to grow vegetables, something they're going to consume, this is where we're at these days. And if you are concerned with the chemicals, you can add the barrier that protects your soil from the lumber. And if you're still concerned about it, no problem. Move to a species of wood that is really good outside that has no chemical in it, like cedar, which we talked about. Also, yep. Juniper. Juniper is something that is flooding the market, really, because it's this tree that grows where there's literally nothing should be growing, right? It grows out of rocks, not out of rocks, but where it's really rocky, dry areas, there's not a lot of water, and that seems to be a thriving product.
Yeah, in some of the high desert areas of the Pacific Northwest, it's considered a nuisance tree. It will set up and grow in these creek beds and literally take all of the water out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of letting them grow, a lot of farmers in Central Oregon and Central Washington will go out and just clear them out.
Yeah.
Because it wrecks their water levels on their farms out there.
But it turns out that as a species of wood, it is very impervious to the conditions that we see in the Pacific Northwest. Lots of rain, very wet all the time. And that lumber stands up to that weather really well and makes a very good product for raised garden beds. Par Lumber Company stocks juniper.
Absolutely.
So that's another really good option. Yeah. Another option we haven't talked too much about is cinder block raised garden beds. A lot of people will use cinder block raised garden beds. They're very inexpensive, like $1.79 a piece for an 8x8x16 cinder block. They're strong. They last for a long time, and it's made out of concrete. If I guess we were talking earlier, if concrete was killing people, I think we'd know it by now.
There'd be a lot of dead people around just from concrete.
So concrete is another good option. It holds heat in. It's very strong and durable, lasts for a long time. It's pretty inexpensive. So that's another really good option.
Yeah, I know a farmer in that grows. He has several, I mean, probably close to 100 raised garden beds made out of cinder blocks.
Rich Fiala.
Rich Fiala with Fiala Farms.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he loves about cinder blocks is because of the airspace in there, it keeps the soil temperature very, very stable. And it also extends his growing season out. Like you said, you create it and you insulate it. But with cinder blocks, you have that air gap in there. So it's almost its own insulating factor that allows you to grow a lot longer than normal.
Yeah, they stack easy, inexpensive. Everybody's got them. It's a good way to go. Also,
they're just not the most pretty.
Sure.
No, but there's things you can do to them. You know, there's paint that you can paint the outside with if you want. But I have some cinder block, a little cinder block setup that I've been working on for my cold frame. And in my design, I put, just like if you're building a house, a foundation, I've got a 2x8 sitting on top of it, bolted down with, you know, mason mortar mix.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sitting there, so I have somewhere to put my coffee cup.
Cause sure.
Remember, I like to garden, but I like to be comfortable.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And when you start going out there with your walker, you won't have to bend over.
Did I do something to you in a previous life?
So I think we've pretty well covered a lot of the different species that you can build raised garden beds out of, right? They're pretty easy to build. You want to put screws in the corners if you're building it out of wood. We put 4x4s in the corners to support the corners. Sink six screws or so,
yep.
3-inch or 3.5-inch screws in each corner to secure them really good. You can put a cap on top if you like for setting your drink or whatever you're working with, and really can dress those things up. So if you've got your raised garden beds, here's a question. Is it too early or too late to start planting? What types of things can you be planting now? You know, let's talk a little bit about that. Have we seen our last frost yet, do you think?
Well, yes and no. I mean, the way the weather's been in the last few years,
yeah.
You know, so unpredictable. But for the most part, late March, you know, when you think spring break, yeah, spring break, that's usually the typical time. My grandma, God rest her soul, I've learned so much from her. And believe me, the minute I put my hand in soil, I remember everything she was telling me in my ear when she was teaching me in that garden. One thing she said, March 20th, if you're going to get below about 40 degrees, you need to keep an eye on it before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
When the temperatures start averaging above 40 degrees, you are pretty much sure you're done with that last frost. But now, April is the time. There's so much you can plant. I have a list here. So many you can plant indoors, some outdoors. It's literally just about anything you can put in the ground right now. The main things you want to put in right now are the plants that develop their root systems to support the fruit later on. They need that cool weather to develop that. Things like broccoli. If you wait till May and late May, they will molt and you'll get a small little head the size of your thumb. Mm-hmm. And it happened to me last year. I really thought I had it down, you know, but apparently not.
Yeah, I see. So we will talk about some of the things you should be planting now, some of the things you might want to wait a little bit longer for, and whether you're planting seeds or starts. Hang in there. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warrior.
Listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks for staying tuned. Steve, what we were talking before the break, you were kind of mentioning some plants, some specific plants that you think grow really well in the Pacific Northwest.
And what time, really, what time is the right time to be planting them? And are we planting seeds? Or are we planting starts? I know a lot of people that, like you, for example, that have gardens and have had gardens, they know which seeds they want to start indoors weeks ago, probably, so that they've got 3-inch or 4-inch starts that are ready to go into the ground after the sun starts to come out more often, after the last frost, like we're talking about.
Sure.
So where are you? Let's just... give us this. Where are you at in your planting season right now?
Everything depends on location, location, location. Everybody can understand that. I mean,
whether you're in Washington or Medford or...
But more that, it's the zone. What zone are you in? What's your elevation? Now, I'm at 1,000 feet. I have a few different requirements than you say down in the Willamette Valley.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, typically rule of thumb is... we start 2 weeks later, we end 2 weeks later. So, you know, I got to be a little more careful. I get snow. I've had snow in June, early June, just 2 years ago, overnight, and it melted, you know, immediately. And that was just a freak thing. But more and more, you're seeing that type of weather. But, you know, you could almost start just about anything right now. Some still inside, some by seed, some outdoors. And, for instance, right now in April, inside, outside, or transplant, Swiss chard.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. You've got, eggplant. You can start indoor this month, and you still have, it's still beneficial for you, because if you start it outside, that ground temperature, again, ground temperature could will delay, hinder, or not even let you germinate those seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, about anything, you could start indoors. There is a great website I use, Mother Earth News. I'm looking at a printout right now with the seed starting A through Z with all the different zones, all the different types of plants. You start in with seeds or you can start outside. Some things outside, like besides the Swiss charge, endive, kohlrabi, any lettuce right now, you can actually put the seed in the ground. It can handle a little bit cooler temperatures. Broccoli, for instance, and I said this, mentioned this before, that's a type of plant that needs this cool weather to develop a good, healthy root system to handle that big head. If you don't have the root system, one, you won't even get that.
Are you talking about a big head like Tony's?
Well, yeah.
Not quite yours, that big, maybe.
Two. I'm surprised you guys get out this door. But, you know, there's so many to list, guys.
Yeah, radishes, like, for example.
Yeah.
Radishes are an earlier, colder weather type of vegetable that like to go early. And they don't take very long.
They don't. You put the seed right now in the ground for radish. Today.
Yeah, and in 3 or 4 weeks, probably, you've got vegetables ready to rock.
It's going to be coming up, yeah. Not so with tomatoes.
Right.
I think a lot of people have problems with tomatoes. You know, the thing I see the most, everybody overwaters their tomato. I wait until I start seeing the leaves wilt. That is a sure sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day you do it. And you don't overwater.
Mm-hmm.
And you water around the drip line of that plant to make sure that every bit of root gets it. And it's very low amount. It's not that much. People, they just overwater them. They won't produce the fruit. You'll see a whole bunch of bloom. Mm-hmm. You'll never get fruit.
Interesting. So this website you mentioned, read it again.
Mother Earth News.
And so on Mother Earth News, you can find out, regardless of where you live, whether you're in Washington or Medford or Bend or the Portland metro area.
Puget Sound, Idaho.
Yeah, you can look in there, and it will tell you your geographic area and what your zone is. And then it will refer your zone to what time of year you should be doing what you should be doing.
Exactly. They have a calendar, what to do in January, what to do in February.
Takes all the guesswork right out of it.
Yeah, you could. There's a few other ones, too, that you could look at. One is organic gardening and farming. Excellent source. My family's been making use of that since the early 70s. As I said, you know, we have a farm. We used to do a lot of hay, a lot of cattle. We have moved out of that, gone to Christmas trees and forest. A lot better carbon footprint. But we also changed. We went from inorganic fertilizers. In other words, we used to pour those granules in a manure spreader and spread it on the fields. It was chemicals. We didn't know. No one knew the effects of that. We've changed. We've completely changed. We've gotten rid of chemicals on the farm. And through these publications and the art of companion planting, which is planting plants that benefit each other, draw insects to get the bad insects for each other.
This one is very interesting to me.
It's awesome. I mean, I ring my garden with ornamental grasses. It looks cool, right? You've seen those, right?
Yeah,
they
look
really neat. Why do I do it? Well, I'll tell you why. It's home to every spider in the western U.S. that preys on the kind of bugs that go after your vegetables.
The foes.
Right. I don't use any herbicides or pesticides. No, nothing. I don't use soluble fertilizers, you know, the stuff you mix up, because they're gone. They contribute to washing the soil out of the essential ingredients, which basically is the makeup of volcanoes. We're a Pacific Rim country. Mm-hmm. Our dirt was manufactured by volcanoes. Basalt has everything you need into it. So if there's one thing I can tell everybody out there, if you're unsure of your soil, but you want to have a balanced soil, get a hold of some basalt. It has all the elements, trace minerals that you need, and you follow those directions. You don't have to use much. I fold it in every month. Along the rows, you can spread it on leaves of plants. It'll absorb it that way, and bugs don't like it.
Mm.
And it's totally beneficial. There's absolutely not a thing wrong with it. You know, the majority of the Earth's crust is made up of it.
Wow.
The Earth can't go wrong, right?
Right, that's right. I mean, well, we're trying as hard as we can to make it go wrong, but it always seems to prevail, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got insects, worms, aphids, spiders, all kinds of things that are in a garden, some of them friends, some of them foes.
Yep.
I know for a fact that worms, earthworms, are something that you want to have in your soil. If you've got a good, rich soil, it's going to have worms.
If you don't have worms, you probably, that's your first indication that something might be wrong.
And worms come in there, and they make it even better. Worm
Absolutely.
Castings, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can spend
what
money.
Is worm castings?
It's,
you know,
it's
poop.
Yeah, it's the waste. It's the waste that,
Hello?
That worms,
you just call it worm poop.
That worms cast off.
Didn't you have biology in high school?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not paying attention again, are we?
And you can spend money trying to get worm castings to add to your soil to
poop.
Make your soil better.
I got a better idea.
Go for it.
Go get yourself some cow manure.
Yeah.
Put it out on the ground for
is that cow
a
poop?
While. Cow poop to you. For the guys that know technical terms, though, Corey, it would be manure.
That's cow castings.
Cow castings, yeah, or another way. Yeah. But literally, you know, being on a farm, I have access to it. But you can actually go get a bag of steer manure.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just immediately putting in your dirt, get it earlier. Put it on your lawn during the spring, even before you're ready to put it in, like, you know, in a garden or in a flower bed or in your raised bed, and lift it up. You're going to have worms under there. It'll insulate them. And I get worms in January and February when I have freezing weather. I just lift that up, and voila, they're there.
Do you lift it up with your hands?
Every chance I get. I am one with the manure.
And it's not just cow manure.
No.
Right? I mean, horse manure, I've heard, is also a very good source. Chicken manure. I mean, people have chicken coops, and they use that chicken manure to fertilize their
I think just
soil.
About the only manure you don't want to use is human manure, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. I don't know. I remember that.
Well,
I remember that show we did on
the composting toilet.
Composting
is different
toilet
because it sanitizes A composting toilet sanitizes the human waste.
I'll be staying away from that one.
Yeah, no, you can do it, but it's not recommended.
It wouldn't be my choice, but that doesn't mean it doesn't work. Okay, it looks like we need to go to another break, but we're on to some really good stuff here. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking some more about growing vegetables in your raised garden beds or in the ground. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors.